Welcome to the last Sunday show of 2024 with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome back, Neil.
Now, Chris, good to be back on terra firma, back in my own country. Spent the week in Madagascar. You know, Chris, they sometimes say a prophet isn't known in his own country. It came up to me because it was unbelievable to be invited by the government of Madagascar as a person that has been there in my previous life, Chris. Very few people know what I did before politics. I used to be in international infrastructure investment across the world. So one of the places I started before COVID was Madagascar. And they wanted me back, but what a country, what potential, what friendly people. So I'm coming back. Yes, it's good, but so much potential in the world. But here I am on our show. Hello, everybody. We are safe.
I hope you alerted them to the Sunday show that they'll be watching next year.
Oh yes, absolutely. And I said I would say to the people of Madagascar, salamat and bonjour, and we miss and love you. In South Africa is your brother and sister. We are your neighbor, and we should take care of you as well. So that's my message.
Okay, Neil, back home, Julius Malema has been re-elected unopposed as the president of the Economic Freedom Fighters. What did you make of his emotional speech at the National People's Assembly?
Chris, that's like saying I'm surprised Idi Amin was elected, that Stalin rose again, Lenin is the president. Yeah. He's a dictator. He's a despot. He's a narcissist. He's a red jelly tot. That's what he is. And I would like to insult him on many ways that is not formal and would not suit my demeanor. This man is a danger to this country more now than he ever was. Why? Because previously, this lunatic used to come up with utter rhetoric of violence, of revolution, talking about commanders in chief and spilling blood. Not only did he do that, he's still currently in a court case for walking onto a stage and firing off a fire. Now, if it was a blank, if it was a replica, if it was a real gun, this is not appropriate for a person that is a so-called parliamentarian. If I must tell you the amounts of times he has broken the code of ethics of parliament, you could put it on a paper. The fact that the IEC, this dormant, biased, so-called regulator, does not charge him for inciting violence, that the human rights don't take him up for the words he said at this conference is beyond me. State security should be at his door this morning. But because he is Julius Jelitot Malema, the people are scared of him. Now, what he said at this conference is for one purpose and one purpose only: to regain relevance, Chris. That's it. He wanted to make such a derogatory, violent, and revolutionary speech so that he could have one up on MK. This is it. This is the truth. This is the fact. Unopposed, another person hugely absent, Dr. Ndlozi, refusing to answer the questions at the media briefing afterwards. Another one, the spokesperson, also not there. All of the people basically in the top structure unopposed. This is a dictator. Now, solution. The EFF is going to die a slow, unannounced death from politics. Because I would like to say three things, Chris. I know him. I know him when he was the president of the Youth League at Luthuli House. I know him because, as the world probably by know now, when he and his jellytots came to Brackenfell, let me quickly tell you the nemesis of the EFF. Brackenfell in Cape Town is the Bermuda Triangle of the EFF. because I went there when his people wanted to storm that school. I stood there and he ran away. So that's number two. They're not very good in combat. And when the police unleashed on them, I think they left their buses and they ran for the waterfront. So when you speak about revolution, when you speak about violence and blood, jy ken dit nie. You don't know it. And thirdly, Chris, it's unacceptable because the majority, black and white, colored and Indian, in other words, South Africans, will not stand for it. I tell you this now. We will not stand that a group of people want to cause disruption, mayhem, and absolute violence. I'll tell you, he must count his words. He must be careful because this country, Chris, in conclusion, is more unified than what that jelly-tot Malema thinks. I'm telling you, this country might be divided on many ways, but when pushed, when challenged, domestically or internationally, dan wil ek nou vir Julius sê, in Afrikaans, ons sal jou moer. We will not allow you to destabilize this beautiful country, law enforcement, defense force and intelligence. They know they have absolutely our support and we will have their back. So write him off, let him blah, blah. He had his moment. The end is nigh.
Neil, tonight is the MKP's first anniversary gala dinner. And according to Secretary General Floyd Shivambu, the party has received an offer of 2 million rand to sit at former President Jacob Zuma's table. And apparently that was not the only offer received.
Yeah, people pay a lot of money to go to an aquarium. They pay a lot of money to go to a circus or to a zoo. You know, sometimes you pay 5,000 rand to go see a panda. This is MK. MK is putting a lot of money. They are bussing in people, the hungry, to a gala event. So, you know, there are just certain people, Chris, that can't help themselves. They need to be relevant. They need to have every win they can have. You know, I had a friend that celebrated and the growth of his first lemon tree, then baby, then anniversary, and then bought a motorbike. He invited 30 people. We came there not because we like motorbikes. We wanted the steak and mushroom sauce. So this is the same thing. They 1 year old. They not. I think they 2 years old. 2 years and 3 months old. I think they lying. They not 1 year old. So, but let them have their moment. I mean, let them have their celebration. They're apparently butting in thousands of people for the celebration. I hope they're not wearing camouflage, and because then we won't be able to see the crowd.
Yeah, it's the rally this afternoon and the gala dinner tonight. Neil, now it was D-Day for the Bella Act on Friday, and Deputy President Paul Mashatile says that the GNU clearinghouse mechanism has submitted its report to President Cyril Ramaphosa. When do you think we can expect him to act? Is he going to sign it tomorrow, December the 16th?
Op gelofte dag, ja. Another gelofte. No, it was not in gelofte. Chris, can you imagine? And this is the typical president that we've got. Can you imagine making him the commander-in-chief that he is, and to make a decision on war and when to attack. So he agrees, as the real commander-in-chief, because he is in this country, he's attacking on the morning of the 13th. He summonses the generals, he issues the statement, he puts out the declaration on the morning of the 13th. Undoubtedly, those that are opposed, those that are not, by the 13th, we are attacking. And then the 13th comes, and then he goes, no. You know what? We have to still look if the attack is necessary. And maybe the couple of other things suggested of not to attack. What a disaster. Again, Chris, what an embarrassment for a person that sits there and cannot get the clear, you know, Angela Merkel. They caught her on various occasions doing this when she speaks to a politician. This is her facial expression. They caught her doing that to Putin while he was saying things. She did this. And they actually told her, apparently, don't do that. But she couldn't help it. So when I saw this Bella Bill 13 postponed still, no, Chris, they're fighting. They're trying to get both sides okay. Not a bad thing to test the GNU. I know it's a bad thing that clause 4 and 5 is ridiculous. But now I hear from the rumbling on the underground that they are trying to negotiate not to implement 4 and 5, but apparently the carrot to the GNU that are against it, this is just apparently, is to say that should certain of the 4 and 5 implication come down to a specific scenario, that they will be able to go back to this clearing room or test it in court. So I think that's where we are today. In other words, clauses on clauses, Chris. Now, what that will do in politics, it will allow Cyril to tell the people, specifically the current prime minister. You know, we have a prime minister in this country, Lesufi. It will allow Prime Minister Lesufi to save face and to say to the radicals, but 4 and 5 is here, but under each one of those, put 40 addendums. That is the win. I think they're negotiating that. I don't think BizNews Neil and Chris show is wrong on this one.
Well, Neil, as we're ending this year with the Government of National Unity, which three African National Congress ministers have emerged as the most forward-thinking?
You know, Chris, it was actually easy. You know, we quickly to jump and say the DA ministers, because you can physically see John climbing in, Dean McPherson, Tibiwe, you can see Dean McPherson, you can see the Deputy Minister of Finance, they are climbing in. We'll talk now about the border and home affairs, but we don't recognize ANC side. And the reason, may I say, in my opinion, is that, the DA is just better at marketing themselves. The DA comes from a machine where they propagate and they market themselves well. On everything you can see, social media stack, that they have a machine behind them that says, Dean did this, Leon did this, John Steenhuisen did. So I don't think the ANC side has that. And they better themselves, because there are three ministers that I did not even have to think about. Number one is Ramaphosa. We cannot deny that the Minister of Electricity has had an influence, maybe not to stop load shedding, but to look at people that are in management, like Umthetho Nyathi, to get the right management in place and to not stop working. So remember, he's a political appointment, but he speaks the right talk. He doesn't go overboard. And we've not had load shedding now we are close to a year now. We're getting there. So I definitely think an accolade to him. I must tell you, the Minister of Finance is impressive as well, Kondongwana. Silent, does his work. And Chris, I'll tell you something. He's very attentive to two things as per his inner circle. One, he does not like the debt burden of this country. This is a good thing. He doesn't want to borrow more and more. And secondly, he listens to industry. I will use an example which he did. Sugar tax. Now, you know sugar, tobacco, and alcohol. That's called sin tax. Because they say you should not be drinking, smoking, or eating sweeties. So it's easy for government to get money on those kind of things. Also fuel and roads, because we have no choice. We have to use it, and VAT. But this year, the industry from the sugar industry, which is cool drinks, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all those, They said to him, please, Minister, we cannot have another raise. We are going to now put people out of work. And I understand that he contemplated and that he lived. So I think he's probably one of the most stable that we have, and an accolade to him. And then lastly, an accolade to Minister Mjunu, the Minister of Police. I think he has done his job. He has definitely done better than Beki Stoki Tafoki Tsele. And you could see it. In other words, you could see the impact. He's getting in there. He's taking it by the grip. But one thing about Minister Mchunu, he's a listener, apparently. He listens. The other one couldn't. So I think those three, there are many more. I mean, silently within corporate of governance, there's working, etc. But if you say to me the top three, those are them.
Well, when it comes to Democratic Alliance ministers, I know you are particularly impressed with the work of Dr. Leon Schreiber at Home Affairs, Neil.
Yeah, I get accused. He's one of my favorites on the border that people, you can see on the comments, join the DA. I'm impressed with Leon because I worked with Leon firstly at the multi-party charter. So in other words, I don't know him from TV. I worked a year and a half with Leon Schreiber. I worked a year and a half with John Steenhuisen. So I'm very sorry. I don't make a political statement. It's personal. So Leon, as a person, is an absolute structurer, a person that likes structure, that likes to implement, and by the way, has a background of that. So when he got given borders and home affairs, I thought, Eureka, this is the right guy. This is a guy that doesn't do anything but roll up his sleeves. Because remember, Chris, he was the senior advisor to John Steenhuisen. He was an advisor. Now he becomes a minister. He can implement that advice in any strategy. So this man has done what other ministers, unfortunately, in the ANC, couldn't do in 15 to 20 years. He immediately, I mean, I don't know if you saw last week, he walked into the main office of Home Affairs with a Christmas hat to celebrate another unbelievable achievement. They have, in 4 or 5 months, cleared all visa application backlog. Huh? Now, sorry. Yeah, the staff did it, but it's leadership, Chris. Leadership. If you don't have the political will, if you don't have the leadership skill, you can't uplift, because they didn't change staff. They just had a leader that came in and changed the attitude of the staff. He went to the border the other day. He's brought technology, which I've been screaming for, drones. So you don't have to build a wall and drain a swamp. You know, Donald Trump, build wall, drain swamp. We would like to do the same thing. But the swamp, there's no water and pump and electricity to drain, and they stole the bricks of our wall. So guess what? We are now just going to use drone technology. We're going to use IT. And this is an addition. This is adding value to protect our borders. And I see his hands on. I come in and I like it. So it's not about being political because, you know, I have my own ideology, which I don't pun. I am just who I am. But Leon Schreiber, a Skophart. He's just kicking ass, so we need to support that that man.
Neil, what do you think the chances are of a National State Enterprises Bill making it through Parliament and the SOEs all ending up in one giant state company?
Well, they have to, Chris. They have absolutely, for 30 years, been falling apart, I'm per se. It's just been shocking. It's been SAA, Denel, Spoornet, Portnet, Talnet, Iscor, Eskom, SAA, Denel. All those were accolades to this country. All of those were our jewels in the basket. SAA, every year, won a world award for best airline. Denel, when I was around, most prolific inventions like the Royfalk, night vision, scopes, we already in those days were the lead, in missile technology, on guidance, on tracking devices for missile. And then the Gupta sold that technology to the Middle East. They sold it. They ripped it apart. We used to have the Rattle. We used to have the Samal. We used to have the Kasper. We used to make the G5 and 6 cannon. This is Danel. This is Armscor. It's all gone. So maybe there's only two choices, because SAA last week declared it made its first profit line since 2012. Okay, so it looks like management, Dotcom, it's because we need SAA. People think it is for aircraft. No. When you park an SAA airline airplane in Washington, D.C., it's our embassy, it's our flag, it's our name. And that's more important to us, is to have presence. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Get it right, and we can achieve both carrier and that. Danel, and they are now saying they are looking at new technologies. They are bringing back some old people, and they're going to try and rebuild that system. I'm afraid Portnet, the roads, the railway, and the harbor, there's a massive problem there. So maybe, Chris, only two choices. Tell them off and privatize, or put it in one area, one entity, but get politicians the hell out of there, employ a lead businessman, like the Nyatis of the world, a businessman, not a politician. Get them out and let him be the group chief executive. And then in each one of those, appoint a MD and recover. I'm sorry, those are the only two options we've got.
What percentage of the ANC leadership, Neil, do you think actually believes in free markets and capitalism?
All of them, as long as they can put it in their pocket. They have no idea where it comes from. They just get it. You know, they declared themselves communists. They're not communists. They're green communists. Chris, first time in the world. That word on Biz News, green communist. What is a green communist? Well, a red communist is also a lie, because a red communist believes that everybody should share and everybody should be equal, except some people need to be more equal than others. Like, they would let the people grovel for potatoes and have vodka and caviar in the Kremlin. That's not communism, but anyway, George Orwell, Animal Farm. But a green communist is a person that believes also in communistic principle, everybody should be equal, everybody should share, but they definitely know the color of the US dollar. They want to be green. Chris, there is no communistic, socialistic, nationalistic government in the world. Hulle gat, hulle lieg, because not even a person in Cuba, Havana, was equal. No one in Russia was equal. No one in China was equal. So utter rubbish. Alle slaap lekker. En die ander mense moet wel die pere pluk vir hulle kussen. So I don't think anyone in the ANC of today believes in that. They believe in money. Why do you think the SACP wants to leave? Because I think it recognizes that all the ANC members absolutely capitalists. Louis Vuitton.
Neil, I wonder, do you buy Bitcoin? What do you think of Bitcoin? I'm just thinking about Stafford Marcy and Rob Herzog's initiative to get South Africa to adopt Bitcoin as a strategic reserve currency.
No, I'm not in Bitcoin. I put every cent that I have in something that is tangible and real. It's called gold. Bitcoin, as far as I am concerned, and please, I'm not clever, I'm not Winston Churchill or Nelson Mandela. Someone asked me the other day where there's an empty hook on my wall. What is that a meaning? He probably thought that is a sign of emptiness. No, I was just blocking some of my pictures of my old office and Madiba back, many other icons. But I come from an era where you have to have something valued on something, if it's diamonds or silver or gold. But gold is the oldest currency in the world. So I can only tell you what I'm saying. It's an emotional currency. Sorry, Bitcoin is an emotional currency as far as Neil De Beer is concerned. Today, Bitcoin, it ran from 90,000 at the beginning of the year dollars for Bitcoin. This morning, it's 101,668,000 USD. So for a Bitcoin in Rand, one Bitcoin in Rand, you're going to pay 1,816,000 Rand. But Chris, valued on what? I'll tell you. Elon Musk. Donald Trump. Yes, Rob Herzog. Mr. Massey. These are people that are big in industry. These are influencers, Chris, at a level I am not. So today, if you want to become a Bitcoin investor, you have to have capital, or you have to have some small capital to buy a share in a Bitcoin. So it's become a super wealth, super strategy. But my question is, when Elon Musk said, I'm going into Bitcoin, bang. Donald Trump, bang. So they are big people that they can influence, not the economy, but the worth of a currency. So I'm not against it because this is AI. This is the progress. Because we went from gold to vegetables, artipel, topi. We went to free market. We went to gold coins. We went to money. And now we're going to artificial currency. Chris, we have already been in artificial currency the day that they took the checkbook, the checkbook away, and they gave you a card. I remember as a lighty, I got a card and I went, Chris, so how can you read that? This was mutation of money. And more and more, Chris, you can see people are actually refusing cash. Now, a lot of people says it's because it's dangerous. No, sir. No, madam. Across the world, I've just been to Berlin. They said the same thing. Card. So they're forcing us ultimately out of a cashless society. And I think your cryptocurrencies, your Bitcoin currencies could be the future. But for me, not now. And the more I wait, yes, the more it's going to be difficult to get my life into currency. But for the wealthy, sorry, I have a bit of a chest. For the wealthy people out there, you can risk it. You can do it. Go for it. Be the pioneers. Mafa Albertus Cornelius De Beer. I'm not in that league.
Neil, as today is the last Sunday show of the year, what would you like to say to your army of BizNews supporters?
Just three things. Thank you so much for building this show with Chris and I, a normal old man and a stunning lady, that just give our heart's opinion. It's easy to tell our story because it's only the truth. You must remember a lie, and we're not scared. We get threatened on the show. We get told to shut up. Never. So for you, thank you for making this show possible and taking us from 20,000 views a week to more than 100,000. It means our message. Secondly, do not give up on the future of this country. Do not become negative of the rubbish that happens every day. Although we do a show of expose, just remember we do it because we want to change this country. This country cannot be changed by politicians. This country can be changed by you. So please, every day, make a change. And lastly, I want to thank Chris. I want to thank Alec. I want to thank the people that are unseen the people that now help to, on a Sunday, edit and produce the show, the wonderful team behind Chris. I want to thank them. Thank my God Almighty. And for all the well wishes, I cannot say in words, thank you enough. So, Kri Kara Teka. Kri Kara Teka. This is the thing I leave you with. On your money, on the South African coat of arms, you'll see funny little letters at the bottom. It is Khoisan. It is in actual fact the South African national slogan. It replaced the Latin of Ex Unitatem Vires, which used to mean unity in strength. The new one is Tri Kara Teka. And what does that mean? Unity in diversity. Eenheid en diversiteit. Let's be that. Let's fight for that. And God bless you. Thanks, Chris. Ek is nou weer op die tyd om te huil, né? So thank you very much. And God bless you, Chris. And nice Christmas and New Year for those that celebrate it.
Thank you. That was Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show, the last Sunday show for 2024 with BizNews. And I am Chris Stane.